May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's talk a little bit about God's grace. Grace is one of the easiest things to comprehend or to have a general idea of what it's about. Yet, it's so hard to explain because it's so ridiculously other than what we as humanity can understand because we want to perform. We think we're supposed to earn. That's part of the whole tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That if I can just do this on my own, even for God, if I just have the knowledge of what's good, I'm able to do it for him. And if I have the knowledge of what's evil, I'm able to avoid it on my own, out of sincerity. But grace would simply be this, is God's action and attitude towards you in Christ as a free gift. God's action and attitude towards you in Christ. In other words, what he thinks about Jesus is what he thinks about you. And the favor of the Son Jesus is on you. And it's all yours because you're in Christ. God's grace is Jesus Christ, period. Grace isn't a thing. God's grace is Jesus Christ. Everything God wants to do on our behalf is embodied in the person of Jesus. This is from John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were birthed or realized or came alive, became real. Grace and truth became real through Christ Jesus. Craig and I talk about that a lot. Grace has a face, and that face is Jesus. And everything that God wanted to do, and he's free to do whatever he wants to do, and everything he's wanted to do for us because we couldn't do for ourselves, we couldn't make peace with God on our own, that had to happen in Christ. We can't live the Christian life on our own. It only happens through Christ. Jesus represents me before the Father in my name and on my behalf, and Jesus lives through me before humanity in my name on my behalf. That's the Christian life. Remember the gospel, our inclusion into the life that Jesus lives. That's a powerful thing to think. My inclusion into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he lives under. Acts 20:24, it's not the only place it mentions it, refers to the gospel as the gospel of grace, the good news of God's grace. This is, there's just a few things. There's so much that, of course, we can't do this in a 5 or 10 minute deal, but there's just some things that stuns me. This is verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. And with great power, the word there, great, is mega. And with mega power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't just telling about the resurrection. They were giving witness. They were manifesting the resurrected Christ. They were giving evidence to him by the life they were living. Not by the life they were living for him, but by the life he was living through them. Great power. The apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and abundant grace was upon them all. The word abundant is also the word mega. Here's the thing about this verse that's powerful to me, is that so many Christians, charismatic Christians, are seeking more power. When the issue was here was a grace. It was because mega grace was on them that they were moving in mega power and manifesting the reality of the risen Christ. And then I told the story that we were in Uganda just recently, and this blind person came to be prayed for, and my heart sunk a little bit because I got intimidated by his condition. Immediately, the Lord began to speak to me what Peter and John confessed in Acts chapter 3. When the man by the gate beautiful was healed, then all the people started coming to John and Peter like to worship them. And they said, why are you looking at us? It's not by our power or our piety that this man was healed. It was Jesus. Because when you say in the name of Jesus, it was the name of Jesus. You're saying it was Jesus. That's amazing to me. That's what I began to remind myself. It's not by my power. It's not by my piety. It's not about how spiritual I am. It's not about how powerful I am. It's not whether I can measure up to this person or that person or this person who wrote a book or this person who was in a conference. It's not my power. It's not my piety. The two apostles said that. It's grace. It's just Jesus. It's grace. And there was no more pressure on me. At that point, I was able to sink into his faith, rest in his spirituality, his acceptance before the Father, because I'm in union with him. his anointing, and then just pray in his name and watch the guy get healed. So again, with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Again, we have to be so careful, because I find so many Christians among us charismatics trying to perform to achieve some reward from God so they can be as anointed as this person or that person. But great saints aren't great achievers. Great saints are great receivers. And you've received all that's necessary because you're in Christ. It's Him. It's Him. God's not disappointed in your performance. You waiting on moving power isn't based on your performance. It's His performance. And when you get that and you start resting in that, that is the key to holiness. Because you just start resting in the fact that it's Him, and therefore His behavior, His character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, begins to manifest because it's Him. The whole thing from beginning to end is Him. God figured it out. He was really smart. We couldn't fix the problem. He had to fix it. He had to do His part and our part. And our part is just to believe and to trust in the one who's doing His part, not just to present us before the Father and have acceptance, the acceptance that Jesus has before the Father, but Him doing His part and living the Christian life. So I would say, I want to see more power manifested in your life. I want to see more power manifested in my life. Stop seeking power. Start asking God to give you a revelation of grace. Then the pressure is not on you anymore. It's a gift. And then you'll begin to believe in childlike faith. Again, that's what God told John Wimber before Wimber began to move in great signs and wonders. He said, never beg me for my mercy again. Just receive what I freely give. Acts chapter 6. I like this about Stephen. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Why was he moving in such great power? Because he was walking in grace. He was trusting in the free gift of God's action on his behalf. The favor that's on Christ is now on him because Christ is living his life through us. I don't have to work for that. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the transgressions of the one, talking about Adam, for if by the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one, much more, now this is the way the grammar is written, much more those who are continually receiving the abundance of grace and continually receiving the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. The word receiving there is also the word take. What we take takes us. And so the Christian life is this moment by moment walk of me just taking the reality, celebrating the reality that my new nature, my position before the Lord is I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. It's all a free gift. And there's an abundance of grace for everything I do. Every relationship, every situation, every circumstance, every temptation, in that moment, grace. And Jesus is the embodiment of grace. I can just thank him for the gift of his ability, of his victory, of his perfect timing in my life. Everything, it's grace. We're swimming in it. We're surrounded by it. And it's all this thing, and it's all in the life of Christ. And we're now in union with that life. That's just the coolest thing in the world. And at that point, we get to really actually enter into his rest because he's not stressed out about anything. We get to enter into his rest and know the joy of the Lord. It's not the joy because you love the Lord. It's the joy the Lord has. We get to walk in that. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.